This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'ahu da'ah ma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan for coming today. This is the first class of the series on the sects and the history of aqidah in Islam. Inshallah, we will discuss basic concepts before we go through the details of this course. The first thing is about the differentiation between good and evil. We have the clear path from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we have other paths also. Knowing both is important, not knowing only one, and we will see how. This is one of the things, it will be through the introduction. And then we want to implement the concept of the correct methodology of aqidah in our time to see, are there groups currently, because we will study the history of the aqidah, we will study some sects, maybe they are not there anymore. But maybe there are new sects now. So what is the ruling about them? How do we deal with them? Also, we are not going through the details, just how the sects came, but also we will learn why they came, how a group established a new aqidah. When we know how this happened, we will stop any new one from happening. I know there was a reason for this group to start, to become a new deviant sect. So in our time, is there a possibility that also there is another group will come? And I'll give you just an example. I'm just giving you now the introduction. We have a new group, it has been here for quite some years now around the Muslim world. They said one of the reasons of disagreement among the Muslims is the interpretation of the hadith. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. They said the understanding of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a cause for division. So how do we stop that division? You see their approach. They say we want to unite the Muslims. What did they do? They decided to take only what? Only the Quran. Now you might think that this is good cause. We want to be united. So they eliminated the Sunnah. What do you think? Is that good or bad? It's evil. Although the intention or what appears to be is good, that they want to unite, but not everyone who wants something good will really have something good. So we need to implement that in our time as well. How can we purify and unite ourselves following the correct methodology? So these are the basic things that we will, inshallah, discuss throughout the history of the aqidah. What happened in the past, how it started, and how we prevent, inshallah, how we become more united. This is one of the objectives. We're not just studying history, mere history, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُهُ. And indeed, this is my way, straight. Follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ السُّبُلِ. And follow not the other paths, the other ways. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drew a line, straight line. And then he drew other lines. He said, this is the line that is leading to Jannah, to paradise. And these lines, I could actually show it to you now. I will not use this often, but just one example. If you have one line here, okay, and then you have other lines there, this is the only one that is taking you. The Prophet ﷺ said, this line, this line, this line, on every one of them, there are people. There are people calling for you. What did he call them? Those people who are here, دعاة على أبواب جهنم. They are colors on the gates of Jahannam. Although it starts, you think it starts right, because it started from the right path. But then it's not leading there. You have only one path, straight path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Ali Imran, in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold tight to the rope of Allah. So there is only what? One rope. Not many ropes. Only one rope. Also, after Ayat al-Kursi, you read Ayat al-Kursi, right? The ayah after that, immediately, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. You see how dhulumat, if you read basic Arabic, this is plural. Not one dhulma, it is dhulumat, darknesses. To what? Allah takes the believers from darknesses to nur, one light. One light, not many lights, it's one. So always the correct path, it's always one. It's always one. But the wrong path, you will have it many paths. And that's why, one of the ways, and this is beneficial for you, sometimes if you are confused, you're not sure, is this right, is this wrong? You will find the people who are asking you to do something different, even among themselves, they will not be agreeing. This is a sign that it is wrong. But the people on the straight path, you are in Malaysia, you are in Saudi, you are in America, you are everywhere, you will find the same answer. It's the same, because they are taking from the same source. But people who deviated, every one of them will have different opinion. So this is the problem also. And you apply that in our time, in any deviant sect, in any deviant group. Look at the Christians. They believe in everything. Their basic concept is that God is three. They say Jesus is the Son of God, He is God. But you talk to any one of them, some of them believe in one God, some of them believe in three gods, some of them say they are equal, some of them say no, they are wrong. Some of them tell you, we don't eat pork. Some, you will find all sorts of beliefs with them. But for us, it's clear, it's one. Same thing with other deviant sects in Islam also. You find this group following that opinion. Then there is this group. We're not talking about fiqh. Yes, even Ahlul Sunnah, we have differences, but these differences are in fiqh. Not in principles. Not in essential issues. So, this is a reminder that it's always one. Make sure that you are on the straight path. And to do that, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day, at least 17 times, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. It's only one straight path. اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Not صِرَاطَ, it's only one. Now, حُذَيْفَ ibn al-Yaman, رضي الله عنهما, had very unique way. حُذَيْفَ, رضي الله عنه, he was the trustee of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the names of the hypocrites. Hudhayfa radiyallahu an, he says, people used to ask Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about good things. They want to know what is good, to implement that. And I used to ask him about evil. That's unique about Hudhayfa radiyallahu an. People ask about good things. Hudhayfa says, I used to ask about evil. Why? Not because he was fascinated with evil. Not because he want. He said, I wanted to know evil so I can avoid it. To avoid it. That was the reason. So, it is important to know these sects, these groups, to know where they differ from the path of Ahlus Sunnah. From the correct path, so we can avoid it also. Now, moving on, starting with the division and the difference and the meaning of each one, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold tight to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not be divided. Divide not. So division was condemned. We are prohibited from division. In Surah Al-Anfal, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not dispute. Why? What will happen when we dispute? فَتَفْشَلُوا. You will fail. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your strength will go away. That's a consequence of the division. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal acknowledged that we will have differences. We will have differences even in our implementation of fiqh, our opinions. We might have certain differences. Being different is okay, but not being divided. So it is important to know these terms. So division in Arabic is called what? Iftiraq. Furqa. That's the division. Ikhtilaf, difference. That is different. We have ikhtilaf and we have iftiraq. So what are the differences between iftiraq and ikhtilaf? We tolerate the difference. We have Hanafi, we have Shafi'i, we have Maliki, right? I want to raise my hands parallel to my shoulders. The Hanafi say, no, you have to reach up to the earlobes, the ears. That's difference, that's not division. Okay, because whether you do it like that, it's leading the same way. But when people say, this is kufr, this is disbelief, and others say, no, this is not disbelief, this is only a sin, that's a huge difference. Just like what the Khawarij said. They said that whoever commits a major sin is out of the fold of Islam. We cannot tolerate that. Because you are taking people out of the fold of Islam. So that is furqa. Okay, it's very clear. Why I'm saying this? Because some people, they also on the other extreme. What other extreme? We are now learning this to learn how to be united. We are inviting people to be united. In the way, we are learning how to tolerate the difference. If it's a minor difference, it's not about aqidah, it's about fiqh. We have to accept that. We have other people on the other side, they don't accept or tolerate any difference. And that is also wrong. Because even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when he told the companions, do not pray Asr except in Banu Qurayza, right? Even at that time, the group of the companions were there, they were not a lot. Still, they had two different understandings. And none of them was condemned. Neither one was condemned. So that's a lesson that something we can tolerate, we shouldn't be upset. Why you are doing it? It's fine. I want to do it before Dhuhr, you want to do it after Dhuhr. It's all leading to the same way. That is fine. We have to learn how to tolerate the difference. Any difference, it should be tolerated as the scholars tolerated these differences. But when it comes to essential issues, to principles of belief, then yes, we cannot tolerate that. So we have to be, and that's the methodology of Ahl Sunnah always. They are always taking the straight, the easy way. It's not extreme here, it's not extreme there. We have people telling you, as long as they say La ilaha illallah, whatever else they believe is okay. No. No. On the other side, they say, unless they are just like us, we will not accept. That's also wrong. That was basically, we will take that inshallah, one of the beliefs of the Khawarij. The Khawarij, they said, whoever committed a major sin is a disbeliever. Then they differed amongst themselves, and then they started implementing that on themselves. And one group, Khawarij, became many groups. Each one is saying on the other one, you are a disbeliever. So that is the problem. Here is the problem. So we have to understand the difference between what is ikhtilaf, which is tolerated, and what is iftiraq, And Allah says in Al-Quran, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. They will be always different. And Allah acknowledged that in Surah Rum, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ. Allah made us different from different tribes, different groups. Okay, we look different also. You look at someone, you know, he is from this region, she is from that region. You know that. Otherwise, Allah Azza wa Jalla would have created us all the same way, looking the same. No, we have differences. So we need to learn how to tolerate these differences. But when it comes to iftiraq, then no. There, we have to stop that. So, usually, how can we differentiate now? What is iftiraq, which is condemned, and what is ikhtilaf, which is tolerated? Ikhtilaf starts small, minor. Then it could lead to strong, which will be division at that point. Okay, that's one of the differences. Ikhtilaf sometimes is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? When we have an opinion saying you could wipe over the socks. When we have an opinion says you could combine the prayer when you are traveler, when you are sick, when you are... So other scholars say no, we have this opinion and we have that opinion. Ikhtilaf sometimes is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like what happened to the companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell one group you are wrong, so you have to repeat the prayer or you should... No, all of them were accepted. All of them were okay. So it could be mercy, but iftiraq cannot be mercy. That's division. That's always evil. So that's another difference. Most of the time, the cause and the root of division is desire, whims and desires. I want to be a leader, so I will start a new group. Our own agenda. But ikhtilaf, differences, usually are based on what? On correct understanding from the Quran and from the Sunnah. It's just different understanding, that's all. So the essence of iftiraq, of division, usually is what? The whims and desires. But the essence of difference, ikhtilaf, is a good thing. So again, good thing leading to a good thing. Sometimes if it's strong, it will be not so good. But bad thing will always lead to a bad thing. Always bad seed will give you bad result. But good seed usually gives you good seed. So the good seed here is the difference. The base of it was correct, different understanding. So usually it is okay. But bad seed, division, I want to be followed. I want people to show my name, to say my name. I want them always to call me. I want to be the leader, people following me, instead of being following what other people were doing. So that's a bad seed. It will lead always to a bad result. One final comment in regards to ikhtilaf and iftiraq. By nature, as I said, some people, any kind of disagreement, they don't like it. By nature, we will have differences. I like to wear this thobe today, tomorrow I will like to wear a white thobe. You like red color, he likes green color. We will have these differences. We cannot force people to follow only one thing. We cannot. So we have to understand that. It is natural. These differences are natural. But the division, they are not. These divisions, they are from the shaitan. That's what the shaitan wants from us. He will lead us. And the result will be where? وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ in Jahannam. These people who are calling people to follow them sideways from the straight way, they are not leading them anywhere. They are going to Jahannam. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And that is the work of the shaitan. Okay, now, moving on to the reality of what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. about what will happen to this ummah, that we will be divided. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something that it will happen, it doesn't mean that we should help it happen unless he commanded that. Okay? Some people say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we will be divided, so it's okay to be divided. No. He was telling us what will happen. That doesn't mean he is okay with it, or we should allow it to happen. There is a funny story about some people when they heard the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the final hour will not happen until Muslims fight the Jews, and until the Jews will seek shelter and will hide behind the bushes, the trees. What trees? He named those trees one type. It's called Al-Gharqad. Okay? So he said, let's plant Gharqad a lot to help this happening. Let's help the Jews gather in Palestine so we can have the battle established. No, that's not your job. Just because the Prophet ﷺ said this will happen, it doesn't mean that you help it happen. Because you are bringing those people, you're helping them to come at the expense of the innocent people that are there and they are struggling. So that's different understanding. That is not correct. The same thing, why I'm saying this, because we have a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, اختلفت اليهود على 71 فرقة. The Jews, they have differed on 71 group or sect. Christians, they differed and they have 72. And this ummah, the Muslims, will be divided to how many? 73. Now, there is a lot of talk amongst the scholars of hadith regarding this hadith. Is it authentic? Is it not authentic? Did the Prophet ﷺ really say it? And many of the scholars, they said, yes, it is authentic. This hadith is indeed authentic. And the authenticity is strong, so there shouldn't be any argument about it. Regardless, let's take the other opinion of those people who said that this hadith is not authentic. In reality, in our time, are we united or we are divided? We are divided. So in reality, this hadith took place. Now maybe not to the extent, now again, I'm saying this is based on the opinion that this hadith is not authentic. We are divided, maybe not to 73, but we have few or a lot of groups. A lot of groups. So that leads to another question. The 73, is the point to know which one they are, each one? This is number one, this is number two, this is number three. Do we have to know the numbers of everyone? No. If you have to know one, there is only one you should know, the correct one to follow. And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. All of those groups will be what? In hellfire, except for one. Now, again, which one is that? Define it, because everyone says we are Ahlul Sunnah. We are the surviving one. Everyone says that. Prophet ﷺ gave an accurate description. He said, what I and my followers do. So when you implement that, let's take a look at every group. The Shia, that's one simple example. They believe that they are the surviving group. They are the ones that will make it. Their basic belief, the principle of their belief, is giving bay'ah to Ali radiallahu anhu. Is that something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the Muslims to do? No. So how come you say that you are the one and everyone else is deviating? When you are doing something, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself didn't do it. Okay? So These numbers, some people are worried. What are they? They started counting them. Did the Prophet ﷺ tell us group number one is this, group number two is this, group number... Did he say that? Did he list them? So knowing them by name, is that an objective, essential objective? No, and that's why actually even scholars who tried to list them, they were not agreeing, because the Prophet ﷺ did not say that. All what you need to know is that we have many groups. One of them will be Shia, one of them will be Mu'tazila, one of them will be Ash'ari, whatever groups. You can list them, someone else will come and will list different ones. So it doesn't have to be known exactly each group of them. What you should know, that the Prophet ﷺ said that we will be divided. So we have to be aware, and we have to avoid division. Because the Prophet ﷺ said we will be divided, it doesn't mean that we help division happening. It doesn't mean that we help it. He just told us what will happen. The number itself, number 73, we shouldn't go to the extreme that we have to list them, each one. Because every now and then, aren't we having new groups? As I told you, now this new group is called Qur'aniyun. It's a nice name. Qur'an, you are attributing yourself to what? To the Book of Allah. But you are implying, and this is not what they say, you are implying neglecting the entire Sunnah. So the job of the Prophet ﷺ to you is not necessary. And you cannot believe without that. No one can believe in Allah, no one can be true Muslim when he throws out the entire Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But this is what they said. No matter how beautiful is the name. And everyone will come will say that. No one will come and will say, I am deviant. No one will come and say, we are establishing a new deviant sect. No one believes that. This is the problem. Names, even if they are beautiful, that doesn't mean what they are doing is correct. Doesn't mean that what they are doing is correct. So the number itself is not really an objective. Instead, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He gave us description. That's why I could say whatever I want. You could say whatever you want. I did this, I did that, I make that much money. You might be jobless, but you're saying that. Anyone can say, when it comes to actions, that's what counts. Actions. What you are doing. So the same thing here. For us, we don't have to come and look at everyone. What group does he follow? What group? I am Sunni, I am Ikhwan, I am Salafi. Names don't matter. What you do, that's what matters. We tend, many times, we tend to give nice names. So we give the impression that we are the best. Or we look the best. I am wearing thob, I am wearing hijab, niqab, khimar. It doesn't matter. Yes, it is good. Alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair. It is something good, but actions, that's what matters. So the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us descriptions. The one description that matters, the one thing that we need to focus on, what the Prophet ﷺ did. What he did, what his companions radiallahu anhum did. Not one companion, the entire companions. So when we come and say we will follow only that companion and any other companion else we will throw, that is not right. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. The group, the entire group of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that's essential thing. The number itself is not really an objective. So don't waste your time on trying to list them. Some scholars, they try doing that, listing each and every one, and they reach the 73. They said that's 73. So in 2 years from now, if a new group came, what will happen to those, to this list? You have to adjust, you have to change, there is no point. Now, another important thing, when the Prophet ﷺ said about those groups, where they are, what did he say? What did he say? Where they will be? In Jannah or in hellfire? In hellfire. Here is a question which is very important. Are they Muslims or they are not Muslims? Muslims. You're sure? Are you sure? Huh? What do you mean, two opinions? No, the Jews are different. The Christians, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said Jews differed on this. So the 73 does not include the Jews or Christians. It includes from this ummah. Again, I repeat the question. Are they or aren't they Muslims? What? Let's say they are Muslims, okay? That's what you believe. They are Muslims, okay? The Muslims will be in hellfire. This is very important. That's the question. Jazakallah khair. That's the thing. When the Prophet ﷺ says they are in hellfire, does that mean forever? No, it's just like any other sin. You committed a sin, you deserve a punishment. That punishment is implemented, it's over. Okay? So those groups, no one said that they have to be in hellfire forever. Otherwise, they will be what? Disbelievers. That's what will happen to the disbelievers. The Prophet ﷺ said, from this ummah. So this is very important. When we look at someone and we say he is deviant, or she is, does that mean they are disbelievers? No, that's very important. However, at the same time, some of these groups are indeed disbelievers. They reach the extreme where they are disbelievers. Like what? I give you the example. When someone believes in Ali radiallahu anhu as a messenger, not only as a khalifa, but as a messenger. When someone says Ali radiallahu anhu should have been the prophet of Allah, that the angel Jibreel, he made a mistake. Some, they do have these beliefs. What do you believe? Are they still Muslims? Where is La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah? Okay, so some of them are, and some of them are not believers. They are not still from the Muslims. Also, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about this group that they are in hellfire, he was talking about every individual of them or about the group in general? Every single one of them or the group in general? He was talking about individuals or a group? What do you think? Is the question clear? Or you want me to repeat it again? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about those groups that they will be in hellfire, was he talking about the generality of the group or about every specific one of them? Every specific individual. That the moment you say, I am follower of that group, immediately you deserve hellfire. This is important. Why? Because I will tell you the point now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about the group in general. Because in each group you will have some people. We Ahlus Sunnah, we consider them scholars. They are scholars. But because of different circumstance, because of different environment, they took that belief. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although they committed a sin, they are excused. They are excused. On the other hand, when we say we are Ahlus Sunnah, we are doing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, what his companions did. If it means every single one, if that's the meaning, then we are saying, it's enough to say, I am from Ahlus Sunnah and I will not be punished. So we are giving ourselves credit for no deed. Just like what the Christians say, believe in Jesus and you are saved. We don't have this in Islam. Your actions, that's what matters. So don't give yourself false credit that just because I say I am from Ahlus Sunnah, I am Salafi, I am Shafi'i, I am Wahhabi, I am this, you kind of purified yourself from everything and then you are going automatically to paradise. No. No. What matters is the action. That's why from Ahlus Sunnah, people practicing, following the Sunnah, there will be still people bad and they will be punished. Why? Not because of what they say, but because of what they do. What they say is very nice. It seems nice. They appear to be like leaders, but what they are doing is wrong. So not every single one from the so-called the saved group, the group that is saved, will go automatically to paradise. And not every single one from all other groups will go automatically to hellfire. What matters is what? The actions. The actions, what is done. Okay, so we have first the description of the saved group. It is what the Prophet ﷺ did and what his companions. That group followed that. We have the number. The number is not really meant exactly. It's not an objective, but it was mentioned that there will be a lot of groups. Now, here is a question, and some people often ask this question. If we are really the correct religion, Islam is the strong and correct religion, why so many differences? Why Jews only 71, Christians 72, and Muslims 73? What do you say? Any opinions? Any thoughts? Why so many groups? Any thoughts? Or we'll leave that to the next session, inshallah. When do we have the next one? Saturday?
2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. Good. So search this question. Okay, that's your homework. You have 2 weeks. Okay, that's a homework. Okay, moving on. The chronology, the history of the appearance of the sects. All these new groups, all these new sects, were they at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or no? Were they at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or no? They were at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give me one group at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes. When he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be fair, yeah.
The group.
Help him! Help him! He wants to.
Khawarij.
You see, that's the thing. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "This is the Khawarij"? It was only one man. He said, "Yakhruju min dhi'i hadha," will come from this man, from the progeny of this man. Not this man, from the progeny, from this. So it was not group. When we say group, individual is individual and group is group. So is this a group? So again, I will repeat the question. Were they groups at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Exactly, we have individuals, not groups. Okay? We have some individuals, they had some extreme beliefs, like this man. We have another incident. When the three people came and asked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ibadah, because he was not there. They asked the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was their impression after they asked the wives? Their impression that the ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was too much or too little. To them, they considered that too little because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is forgiven. So they felt that they have to do what? More. One of them said, "I will not marry women because they will keep me busy, they will..." Is that the case now? Okay, so one of them decided not to marry women. Another one decided not to sleep. Different narrations. Another one said not to eat meat, not to break the fast. Eventually, all of them wanted to do what? more. When the Prophet ﷺ heard about that, was he happy with them? Yeah, good, go ahead. No, there is always balance. So these also were individuals. But all of them, these three individuals, if we wanted to unite their conception, what their idea, it goes under what belief?
Extremism.
Very good. Jazakallahu khairan. Extremism. That is extreme, ghulu, which we don't have in Islam. To be extreme like that, we don't have this. We have the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, moderation. Prophet ﷺ eats meat and he eats other things. He prays during the night and he sleeps. He fasts during the day and he breaks his fast. He marries women. So there is no ghulu in Islam. Again, this was group or individuals?
Individual.
They were individuals. So at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did we have deviant groups? No. No, we didn't have. We had only one group. Only one group. The correct group. Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ Allah is indeed pleased with the believers when they give you the pledge of allegiance underneath the tree. That was during what time? Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. That was during the truce of Hudaybiyah. All of the companions gave pledge of allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ, and all of them were given the glad tidings that Allah is pleased with them. There is exception. Again, some individuals from one group. Now this group, yes, it was at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but are they from the fold of Islam? They are not. This group appeared only in Medina, not in Mecca. What is that group I'm talking about? Al-Munafiqun, the hypocrites. The hypocrites. Al-Jadd ibn Qais is one of them. He didn't give the pledge of allegiance. He was hiding underneath the camel. They tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ coming back from Tabuk. They made fun of the believers when they were going for jihad. So these are disbelievers. Now, in our time, if at the time of the Prophet ﷺ there were hypocrites, won't we have hypocrites in our time? Munafiqun? They will be always there, munafiqun. But nifaq, from nifaq, it is different. We have some munafiqun, they are in their actions only. But some munafiqun in their beliefs, which means they hide disbelief and they show belief. That's the dangerous hypocrisy. Every hypocrisy is dangerous. But that's the one that's taking the person out of the fold of Islam. We had that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The hypocrites, they were there. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he was their leader. He was their head. So we have that. Now, are they included? Some scholars said yes, some scholars said no, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned what will happen after him, not during his time. Even Dhul Khuwaisara, that's the name of the man. You need to know, well, you don't have to, but it's good to know the name of the man. What's the incident, by the way, of that man? Who is the essence of the Khawarij? From him, the Khawarij came later. What's the incident? Do you know the story of this man? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes.
And he came to
the Ansar. Yes.
And
he was not pleased. What did he say? The Prophet ﷺ was distributing the spoils and the spoils of war, and this man, he felt like the Prophet ﷺ was not just. He didn't do justice. So what did he say? He said, "I'dil, be just." He's telling this to who? To the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wayhaka, woe to you! If I did not do justice, who will do justice?" Can you imagine someone thinks that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah, is not doing justice? Who are you to come and say that? Who will be just if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not just? So this is the danger. And that's exactly what happened later with this group. They considered, we will discuss that inshallah with the details, alaykum salam, of this sect in particular. They considered the killer of Ali radiallahu anhu, one of the best people. Ali, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, killing him is a beautiful deed, is something noble, that's what they believed. They considered Ali radiallahu anhu a disbeliever. So that's the extremism that they reached, those people. So this is the incident of Dhul Khuwaisara, that's the name of him, Dhul Khuwaisara Tamimi, from the tribe of Tamim. During the spoils of war, the Prophet ﷺ was distributing some of these spoils of war, and he felt that it was not just. He didn't do justice. So that's the incident. The incident of hypocrites during the truce of Hudaybiyah, when they gave the pledge of allegiance, all companions, that's what we believe. The deviant sects, like the Shia, they say only seven of the companions, they are the correct ones. Ali radiallahu anhu, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, only few of them. The rest, they are all what? Not, they are all followers of Abu Bakr, of Umar, they are hypocrites, they are not Muslims. Allah says in the Quran, radiallahu anhum. How many they were? 1400. 1400, the ones that gave pledge of allegiance during the truce of Hudaybiyah. It's already done. I might be pleased with you today, tomorrow I will be unpleased. But when Allah is pleased with someone, He knows, He doesn't change that. Once Allah is pleased with someone, that's it. Radiallahu anhum. It's over. Radiallahu anhum. Okay, so that's our belief. Then again, we have some actions that led also to some groups. It started only with simple things, like having a group starting making dhikr. When did this happen? Did it happen at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. When did it happen? During the time of Sahaba. In Iraq, during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Again, you see, that's the thing. The group, the sect, does not start with a big action. It could start with something small. We had those groups. They started with dhikr. What's the problem with dhikr? It's a noble thing. You are remembering Allah. But then they started coming together. They started doing it with certain way, with rocks. And then it became like a group. Another thing also. A group of people, they started saying, we want to be simple. We want to live this life simply. We don't want to be indulged in the luxury of this life. What do you think? Is this good or bad? You should spend too much time in this life, focusing only on this life? No. So the idea itself was good. We want to follow the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ was a simple man. Although he was rich, he was not indulging in the luxuries of this life. So let's follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ. The idea was nice, but then they said, we will not wear any type of clothes. It has to be thick. When it is thick, that means we will suffer. So we will be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they started doing it, and eventually it became an extreme. That's how it starts. It always starts from something simple. It doesn't have to be something big. But eventually that's how it started. So knowing how things start will help us understand the sects and will help us in our time how to avoid it. Because sometimes we tolerate things and we say, oh, it's simple, it's nothing. Be careful. Usually, fire starts from only a spark. Spark, and then it becomes big fire. The same thing here. Try to prevent any wrong action. As long as it's wrong, we have to stop it. We have to say this is wrong. Something that we could tolerate, we say it is not a division, but it's a difference of opinion, then there is no problem with that. Alhamdulillah. So, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did we have any sect? No. Because even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was talking about what will happen later. So it's important to know the history. After the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened? Immediately when some groups heard of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did they do? They left the fold of Islam. They apostated. Are we talking about those people? No, we're not discussing them. We're talking about people, they attribute themselves to Islam. They say, we are Muslims, but they did things different. That's what we're talking about. After the death of the Prophet ﷺ, immediately some groups, they apostated. They refused to pay zakah. They believed in Musaylimah, in Al-Yamama, for instance. That's one of the groups. So they were fought during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and many of them were killed. Many of them came back to Islam, and that was over. Then at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, most groups started appearing. They didn't yet appear, but started appearing. The first hadith, this is another thing, hopefully you would spend some time on it inshallah during the 2 weeks break. The first hadith in Sahih Muslim. Have you ever read the beginning at least of Sahih Muslim? Sometimes. I need only one time to remember what's the first hadith in Sahih Muslim. What's the chapter, the first chapter? Very good. Kitab al-Iman. What is the hadith? The book of Iman is the first chapter in Sahih Muslim. Not in Sahih Bukhari. In Sahih Bukhari we have the beginning of revelation. That's the chapter. And the hadith in Amal Amal bin Niyat. We want the hadith in Sahih Muslim. What is it? Very good. MashaAllah. You googled it now? Very good, Sheikh Google. Okay. So that's the hadith. About what? About the Qadr. Because that's also a beginning of a new group, new deviant sect, Al-Qadariya. That was at the time of Umar, radiallahu anhu. Ma'bad al-Juhani, the name of the man. What did he say? He said that there is no something called destiny, something predestined. We don't have this in Islam. We cannot say Allah knew that this person will commit a sin, this person will deviate, and he left him do that. No. Everything is new. Everything is new. There is no predestiny. Again, he didn't say, I am deviant. He didn't say, this is a wrong belief. The idea sounds nice. He says, Allah is so merciful. He doesn't let someone deviate without guiding him. That's the essence. They said, the person who disbelieved, he disbelieved and Allah did not predestine that. So they had a problem with what? With Al-Qadr. How did the companions react? And this is also important when we are studying the history of the Aqidah. It's important to see how the companions reacted. They didn't just sit and make them friends and say, let's have a dialogue. When it is serious, they cut the ties immediately. They severed the ties. We have nothing to do with them. Because two of the people from that man, from the area of that man, Ma'bad al-Juhani, they came to Ibn Umar, to the son of Umar, radiallahu anhu. They said, we want to ask you about something. This man, he is good. Again, this is the thing. It doesn't matter what this man looks like, what he says. What matters is the actions. He seems abid, worshipper, but this is what he's saying. He's saying there is no qadr. So, what did Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu say? He says, go and tell this man that I have nothing to do with him, and he has nothing to do with me. We are on two different ways. That's what he said. He didn't say, it's okay, let's tolerate it. No, immediately. So, that's the first hadith in Sahih Muslim. So, read the hadith. See how Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reacted. That's why some scholars said this is the first group. Now, when we want to study the start, the beginning of those groups, which one of them started first? Is it those Al-Qadariya, or the Shia, or Khawarij? What do you think? It doesn't really matter which one really started. We're studying the history of them, so it's good to know, but it's not really important. We know who they are, what did they do, how to avoid what they did. That's what matters. But which one of them really started first? Because many scholars, they say, that's the first group. This group. They started before the Khawarij, they started before the Shia, Al-Qadariya. That's what they are called. And we will talk about their beliefs in details. Okay, so at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's start establishing some facts first. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were there any of the groups?
No.
Did we have some individuals?
Yes.
But no certain group that it was, because they cannot. When they say we are following Islam, here is the Islam represented in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they are not following what the Prophet ﷺ is doing, they are not from the correct fold of Islam. So, we didn't have groups at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. At the time of the companions, we started having some groups. And it is important to see the reaction of the companions. So, we had this group, Al-Qadariya. They started again, a man teaches and starts saying something, people think it's nice, but eventually it is dangerous when you say there is no qadr. So that's one group. Another group is Al-Khawarij. How did they start? Their beginning. How did they start? Before killing Ali radiallahu anhu. You see, sometimes dangerous things, they start with an idea only. And that's how they started. It wasn't against Ali radiallahu anhu. It wasn't against Uthman radiallahu anhu. It was an idea. That, what was their idea? Same thing with the Shia. The Shia started with a belief that Ali radiallahu anhu, he is the Khalifa. We have to give him bay'ah. So anything else is incorrect. Same thing with the Khawarij. Whoever committed a major sin is out of the fold of Islam. Implementing that led them to all the deviant beliefs that they had. They implemented that on Ali radiallahu anhu. One of the first people to accept Islam. They implemented that on Muawiyah, on many companions. Why? Because during the arbitration, again, that's what we want to discuss. How these groups started. Khawarij, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the belief itself was what? The concept was extremism. And saying anyone who committed a major sin is a disbeliever, is that a good thing? Some people might say, yes, let's warn people, let's make them scared so they will not do it. That's not the correct way. That's not the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Major sin, still major sin. No matter how many times you do it, it's a major sin. You deserve the punishment, but eventually you will be forgiven. You are still a Muslim. But for the Khawarij, committing a major sin, that's a disbelief. So what happened? We know how it started even before the arbitration from the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. They started again with small groups. They disagreed with the Khalifa. You gave the pledge of allegiance to this Khalifa. He is your ruler. Some of them started feeling that this Khalifa is not doing justice. It's not as it's dangerous with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're not doing justice. He's a man. True, he is from the companion, but still he is a man. Can he or can't he make a mistake? He can. So it's okay to have this agreement with the Khalifa. That's how it started. They came to him, they said, you did this, that was wrong. What was wrong? You appointed your relatives. He said, no, I didn't appoint my relatives. And the only one I appointed, not because he's my relative, the Prophet ﷺ himself appointed him. So it's not about being a relative. You did this. You are ascending on the level of the Prophet ﷺ. On the pulpit, on the minbar, we have three steps. After the death of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr said, I will not step on the same step. He went down. Umar radiallahu anhu went down. Uthman said, now I go down, there is no more steps. So the one comes after me will go under the ground. So he went back to the level of the Prophet ﷺ. That's only it. They said, no, no, you... So one thing with another thing, with another thing, they said, you are not worthy of Khilafah. We have to impeach you. He said, no. What happened? What did they do? Eventually they killed him. Killing Uthman radiallahu anh, the one who married two of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So is that something good? Even if you feel that there is a mistake, what you are doing is a terrible mistake. Not only a mistake, terrible mistake. Killing the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what you did. The brother-in-law, he married two of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like what happened with the brothers of Yusuf. Inna abana لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Our father is in plain error. Why? What did they see from their father? What did they feel? That he is preferring Yusuf. Okay, maybe. Now, Yaqub alayhi salam is a messenger of Allah. Let's say what you are saying, maybe it is correct. What did you do is correct? Killing Yusuf is correct? This is the problem. Sometimes we see little thing and we focus on it. We say that's wrong. But we do something more wrong. So that's how it started. Even before that, let's go back now in retrospect. Even before that, at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, the real beginning of differences happened by the killing of Umar radiallahu anhu. Until the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, everything was together. Everything was united. Everything was the same. That's why we go back again to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, because the Prophet Umar radiallahu anhu used always to ask, what will happen? Anyone has information from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on what will happen? So Hudhayfa told him, I do. He asked him how the fitan will start. He said, there will be a door that will be opened. He said, the door will be opened or will be broken? He said, will be broken. What was that door? Umar radiallahu anhu himself. He said, you are the door. You are the door. So Umar said, if it's broken, that means it's not going to be closed. But if it's open, you could close it. If it's broken, you need to fix it. So he told him, you are the door. By the killing of Umar radiallahu anhu, the differences started happening. Again, they started little. It doesn't mean that everything almost was the same. No, even at the time of Abu Bakr, we had the incident of Al-Murtaddun, the apostating people. But still, the Muslims were united. Everything was the same. Until the time of Uthman. After the killing of Umar, radiallahu anhu, by the coming of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, becoming the Khalifa, and the coming of Abdullah ibn Saba, he's one of them. He was a dark man, black man. He was from the Jews. He declared Islam while he was not a Muslim, really. And he started having these thoughts. People followed him. Some of them came from Egypt. Some of them came from Iraq. Came to Uthman, radiallahu anhu. Uthman, radiallahu anhu, was killed. Now, moving on to the time of Ali, radiallahu anhu. That's where when we have the Khawarij starting. During the arbitration. So we will take the story of the arbitration, inshallah. And we will stop there. During the time of Ali, radiallahu anhu, the difference or the disagreement was that the killers of Uthman should be punished. Some people killed Uthman. Uthman was the Khalifa. Killing by itself is a crime. Killer should be punished. But killing the Khalifa, that's even a bigger crime. So the killers, the criminals who killed Uthman, radiallahu anh, they should be punished. Where did the killers take shelter? They went to their tribes, to their groups. Many of them, they had big tribes, big groups, especially in Iraq. Ali, radiallahu anh, now became the Khalifa. So, Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, was in Asham, and he is a relative of Uthman. So, Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, told Ali, radiallahu anhu, he told him, give me those killers. They have to be punished. Ali, radiallahu anhu, said, wait, it's not time now. We just finished from this incident of the killing of Uthman, radiallahu anhu. I bring those people, you kill them, their people now, we're not dealing with individuals anymore, we're dealing with groups. If only those individuals came and they killed Uthman. Now we kill those individuals, their groups will come and it will be great division. Wait. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu insisted, no, we have to take them. Eventually what happened? There was a battle. First one called Al-Jamal, when Aisha radiallahu anhu went from Medina. She went from Medina to Iraq. Ali radiallahu anhu saw the environment in Medina is very touchy. It's very difficult. The mood there was not suitable, so he moved to Iraq. So they went there, trying to convince Ali radiallahu anhu. Those group of people, the killers, they didn't want any agreement. So they ignited the war. They started the war by going during the night and firing against the group with Aisha, with Talha and Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhum, and then firing again the army of Ali radiallahu anhu. So there was a war. The war of the Jamal, the camel. Because that camel is the camel that was carrying Aisha radiallahu anha. So that was one war. The other war was with Muawiyah radiallahu anha during Siffin. Two wars. Amongst who's fighting who? Muslims. The purpose again, it was not to gain more land. It was not to take more money. It was for nothing of this dunya. It was to achieve justice. Each one felt that this is the right thing. We have to bring the killers to justice. Even Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he didn't say, I am the Khalifa. He acknowledged that Ali radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa. They didn't have problem of authority. Because nowadays, especially the non-Muslims, they try to say, look at Muslims. Even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were looking for dunya. It was not about dunya at all. It was only to achieve justice. Each one felt that he holds the right, the truth, and that's it. So, during Siffin, again, a great war, 40,000 of the Muslims were killed. Many of the companions were there. What's the solution? One war, second war. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu sent to Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, let's have negotiations. Let's do some kind of talks. Let's have arbitration. He felt that he is losing Muawiyah. The army of Ali radiallahu anhu is gaining. So he had this plan. He sent to him. Ali said, I don't mind, because everyone wants justice. What's the point of killing you? We all believe the same. But we differed on one issue: bringing the killers of Uthman to justice. That's it. So Ali radiallahu anhu appointed Abu Musa al-Ash'ari as his delegation, envoy. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu appointed Amr ibn al-As. We have two people on behalf of two leaders, Ali radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa on one hand, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu on the other hand. They came for the arbitration. What should we do? So one of the decisions that they reached, both of them should be impeached. No more Ali radiallahu anhu as a leader, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu as a leader. No more. When they came back, Ali radiallahu anhu said, you cannot do that. Yes, I sent you as a delegation, but not to do things you cannot do. People selected me. They gave me bay'ah. You cannot simply say you are not Khalifa anymore. Now, the group of the people who went against Ali were the same group that they asked him to appoint Abu Musa. At the beginning, Ali radiallahu anhu said, why do we have talks? Those people know what our stance is, what our point is. The killers, we cannot bring them to justice now. We made that clear. They refused. They fought us. So why we stop now? Because they are losing. Let's not stop. They said, no. How come you refuse to go to negotiations? He said, okay, we will go to negotiations. Appointed Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He went. When Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came back, they said, you committed kufr. They told Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, you told me to send them. They said, no. How you arbitrate in the religion? If the religion is of Allah is clear, do you have any choice? Can we now make this conference on the ruling of Khamr? Let's have negotiation. What do you think? Let's decide, is Khamr haram or halal? Is stealing halal or haram? Can we do that? No. So that's their belief. You know the religion of Allah, but you still arbitrated. You cannot do that. You committed kufr. So you are no longer Khalifa. That was their belief. Ali radiallahu anhu did not fight them. He said, I will not fight you. I will try, because at the time, again, remember, that was a time of fitna. It was time of trials, a lot of trials. He sent to them Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Those people couldn't stay with Ali. Not everyone agreed with them. Everyone wants Ali radiallahu anhu as Khalifa. But to them, they considered Ali kafir. Walayadu billah. If you believe that someone is kafir, can you pray behind him? Can you still follow him? So that's what they did. How can we pray behind him? They started praying alone. Ali radiallahu anhu is leading the prayer, and then when they noticed that their group is small, they have to be identified, they have to be acknowledged. So they went away. And they started their own group, and the people now started following them. They started establishing group against the group of Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu did not fight them. He didn't say, you accused me of kufr, I have to kill you. He waited. He was patient with them. He sent to them Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma to talk to them, to try to convince them. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the first thing he did before he even talks to them, he wore very beautiful, very expensive cloak, thobe and cloak. Why? Again, when you deal with ideas, with method, you have to be careful. Not only what to say, but also what to do. What to do? Those people, mainly they had the issue of extremism. They are extreme. In their ibadah, they are extreme. The Prophet ﷺ described them. One of their descriptions is what? Do you know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? How the Khawarij, how can you know that certain person is from the Khawarij? They are extreme in what? First thing, tahliq. He mentioned the shaving. Shaving of what? Of the head. What does that mean? Excessive umrah and hajj. Okay, that's one thing. They shave always. Another thing, qira'ah. Reciting the Quran. Qurra. They are qurra. How the Prophet ﷺ described their recitation? He was telling the companions, because again, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, were the Khawarij there yet? No, they weren't there. He told the companions, when you read next to them, you would feel that your reading is insignificant. Very good. That's the thing. But their reading does not go beyond their mouths. Without correct understanding, without correct practicing. You will pray. Your prayer compared to their prayer, again, you will notice that they pray during the night, all the night. So they are extreme. That was their description. That's how the Prophet ﷺ described it. So anyways, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu now is going to them with this nice fancy clothes. They looked at him and they said, what is this? Oh, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. Why they said that? They are extreme. This is something you're doing. This is wrong. Because I am extreme. I have to wear simple things, very cheap. And I look at you, you're wearing something nice. I will believe that this is wrong. He said, you blame me? You are questioning what I'm wearing? Wallahi. I saw the Prophet ﷺ in those two very clothes. That's the end of it. You see, Abdullah ibn Abbas is knowledgeable. It's not only about thoughts, about what you say. You have a claim that this is luxury. That's what I saw the Prophet ﷺ wearing. So they couldn't open their mouths after that. They were quiet. Now they started listening. He said, what is your issue with Ali radiallahu anhu? They said he arbitrated in the religion of Allah. Arbitration is prohibited. You cannot arbitrate. He said, who told you that? We can arbitrate. Allah says in the Quran, فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If there is a dispute amongst the husband and the wife, you send two people, arbitrators, one of them, one from the family of the husband, one from the family of the wife. That's all. That's exactly what Ali radiallahu anhu did. They said, no. He said, yes. He didn't send someone to change the religion of Allah. He sent someone to try to fix the problem. That's all. So he negotiated with them. Eventually, half the people, they believed. Half of them went back immediately. The other half, they still persisted, and we will talk inshallah about what happened later exactly with details. So we will stop here, page 6. We are still in page 6 of the notes. The appearance of sects after the 2nd century, and we will continue that bi'idhnillah next session. I will give you about 5 to 10 minutes if you have any questions, any comments before we conclude inshallah. Any issue, any question? Do you have anything? Remember the homework, please. It's simple homework. Just reading the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the first hadith of Qadr, about the Qadr. I hope you remember within 2 weeks, inshallah. Any questions? Any comments? Anything you read you didn't understand or you felt we skipped? Okay, if you don't have anything, then you have something. Go ahead, Bismillah. Nobody? Okay. All right. Okay then, inshallah, see you next time. Jazakumullahu khairah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabi Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.